unheardnerd.com.
Radio Mass places a disc.
And now our feature presentation.
In a week where both John and I are absolutely devastated, despite putting in real hard work for our auditions, neither of us got picked as the Pink Power Ranger in the reboot, but never mind, we're here with Betamax and Laserdisc, the movie and TV podcast from theunheardnerd.com. I'm Will, and with me as always is John. How are you, John?
I had the pink jumpsuit made and everything.
Oh, it's just such sexism.
That's terrible.
I can't believe it. Something about being men and you can't be the Pink Power Ranger. Bullshit. Absolute bullshit. Anyway, how are you? You're well.
I'm good, Will. How are you?
I'm okay, apart from the devastating news that we're not going to be in the Power Rangers movie.
Terrible.
Yeah, apparently it can't be the Black Ranger either, for other reasons that we won't go into. I'm good, actually. I've had a pretty good week. I'm going to start with the what have we watched since last time, as always.
But mm-hmm.
I'm going to change it slightly, as in, and you probably know where I'm going with this. Not so much as in what I've watched, but where I've watched it, because I had a really interesting night on Tuesday. Well, I got to go to Dolby European headquarters in Soho Square, London. Which sounds a lot more prestigious than it actually is. It's pretty much just a bit, bit of a rundown facade of a building, but inside's pretty impressive. And I got to go and test out their custom-built cinema, which has Dolby Atmos. And I don't know, I would hope that people listening to a movie and TV podcast are familiar with Dolby. Dolby are the people that make sound. They invented sound.
Wow, that's quite a claim.
All right, not quite invented sound, but they've been synonymous for years with stereo and surround sound technologies. Starting with really, I mean, I think the first places I noticed the Dolby logo, which is the two D's, was on firstly a Walkman that used to have it on, and then like tapes, cassettes. Always had the Dolby logo on because music is presented in stereo. So there was Dolby Stereo, and then I remember I got my first surround sound system, and it was Dolby 3.1, which was two stereo speakers at the front, a subwoofer, and you had speakers at the back, but it was only one channel, it was like mono at the back. And then I upgraded to Dolby 5.1, and that was the stereo speakers at the front, stereo speakers at the back, and a bass cabinet. And then came Dolby Digital, which was like 5.1, but better.
Better.
And then there's Dolby Digital Plus, and now there's Dolby Atmos. So it was really interesting. It was through HBO again. You know, our friends who are very generous at HBO and invite me and us to. You know, I don't think you've been to any of their stuff, have you?
Not HBO's, no, not yet.
No. I think there's plenty coming, so if you're able to. But the problem is they're usually last minute, and they're in London. And since I live and work in London, it's quite convenient for me just to hop along and go.
Yeah.
But I usually only get like a couple of days' notice, and they're like, "Do you want to go to this?" Like, okay. So I got to go along. We had a few beers ahead. There was always free beer and free nibbles, and then we got to sit in their 70-seater cinema, and it's got 36 speakers. 26 of which are dedicated to surround sound, so literally just going around the room, giving you the surround element, and then the rest, the remaining 10 speakers are either subwoofers, up and down, like above and below, and directional speakers from the ceiling and underneath. So you literally, like when you watched, they did like I think what they called their Amaze trailer, which is just like. It's like a little, a little reel, like to show you what sound you can get from it. It's like a demonstration, if you like. And it was like a rainforest, and you heard like the drip leave the ceiling and hit the floor, but not just around you, surround sounds usually from left or right. It was like next to you, and in between different people. And then the bass, we used to go into the cinema and feeling like really bassy, like rumbly bass, but it was more refined, but like just as hard hitting. It was like, it wasn't so like forceful, but it really shook you, and you know, really felt it. Really quite amazing. And so we watched an episode of Game of Thrones, which is coming out in Steelbook Blu-ray.
All right, yes.
They're starting with season 1 and 2. They're releasing those later on in October. I'll obviously put a bit on the website about that. And they've actually, they're releasing them in Dolby Atmos. So,
oh, wow.
If you've got a few grand laying around, you can get a Dolby Atmos system for your house. They've actually engineered it into a soundbar, which is amazing. Yamaha have built this Dolby Atmos soundbar that you can have in your house. It's only £1,500.
Okay.
Yeah, so yeah, small fry, really, peanuts. And you can experience Dolby Atmos in your house. I don't know how it works. It's like wizardry. It's like black magic. Like, how
was you just told about the soundbar? Did they demonstrate the soundbar as well?
They didn't demonstrate the soundbar because they've got this fancy 70-seater cinema that we were sat in. But they told us about it, yeah.
Perhaps the comparison wouldn't be so good, listening to this Atmos system and then going, and listen to the same thing from a soundbar. You'd be like, no.
It's not quite the same, but they've also engineered Atmos to work through ordinary headphones on their tablet or through an audio device. I think if the device is set up with Dolby Atmos, any pair of stereo speakers will be able to simulate Dolby Atmos. It's quite incredible. I mean, they're calling it the biggest revolution in sound since, you know, stereo or ever, really. it's not necessarily the newest thing. Atmos has been around for a little while. I think they introduced it first in 2012.
Right.
It's available in cinemas across the US, but really the Dolby headquarters is one of the few cinemas outside of America where you can experience Dolby Atmos, and they're just sort of releasing it to the home market. And so Game of Thrones is one of the first TV programs to be engineered in Dolby Atmos, so the sound is you know, very different. So we watched Game of Thrones, and I've got to say, I mean, they won't love me for saying this, but it's a bit like 3D, to be honest. At first, you really notice it, and then after a while, you forget it's there.
That's the last time they're inviting you out.
Oh no, I'm already signed up for another, which I'll come on to in a little bit because it's also TV related. But it was really interesting. It was lovely to go, but I think the little promo video really demonstrates it far more than the Game of Thrones episode. And for anyone that's interested, it was episode 9 of season 2, which is the Blackwater Battle. It's a big ships and lots of, you know, sword fighting and like a real big battle. So it lends itself well to the technology, but at the end of the day, it was a little bit, after a while, you kind of forgot that it was there, to be honest, which sounds a bit bad, but it's just the way of things. But I suppose it's doing its job if it's just naturally there.
Yeah, if you're thinking about it, it's probably doing its job too well.
Mm, exactly. But that was really good fun. So I enjoyed that. It was a great experience to go inside, you know, Dolby HQ, have the nice treatment, and watch one of my favourite episodes of Game of Thrones, actually. I really enjoyed it. So it's good fun. And they're sending me the Blu-rays, which is lovely.
Oh, good for you.
I know. They won't be in the steel box. They're just the discs, apparently. But
oh, right.
For review purposes.
Oh, I see, yeah.
So there we go. Anyway, there's that. but other than that, I haven't really watched a lot. I've watched, I think, the first in a bit episodes of Gotham Season 2.
Yes.
I haven't watched... I really enjoyed the first episode, actually. It feels a little bit darker than last season. It was getting dark towards the end of Season 1, but it feels a lot more... I don't know.
Yeah, they seem to have taken up a notch, haven't they?
Yeah, it's a bit more edge to it, a bit more grown up in some respects. So enjoying that, but I haven't really watched an awful lot. I watched some Simon Pegg film with Rosamund Pike, and I can't remember what it's called, but it's about him going off.
Is it Missy is going to kill me because she's watched it and she said it was a really good film? Something about being happy.
Yeah, it was.
I can't remember its name.
it was. It wasn't called The Pursuit of Happiness because that was the Will Smith film, but it was along those lines. It was like Searching for Happiness or something. In Search of Happiness, something along those
Hector
lines.
Hector and the Search for Happiness.
That's the one. So, yeah, I watched that with a wife recently. It was all right. I quite enjoyed it. I think we actually watched it over two nights because we were staying in a hotel one night and we were watching it on our iPads in bed because the kids were in the same room asleep already.
All right.
And yeah, we had one headphone each. we were watching it on Netflix and she fell asleep. So I watched like, I don't know, maybe 20 more minutes and then fell asleep myself. Then we watched it the next day. It was all right. But throughout the film, I was thinking, it better not end the way I think it's going to end because I'll be really disappointed. And then it did, and I wasn't disappointed, which is quite strange. So it's a decent enough film, but I watched that. But I think what we really need to discuss, John.
Yes.
Is your current run of films that you've been watching.
What? I'm just watching films. I'm just doing my favourite pastime. Moving on.
Why don't we talk about the films you've watched recently, John? What kind of films have you watched lately?
What have I watched? Let's see. I've watched Inside Out.
Oh, right. How did you enjoy that?
I really enjoyed that. I've got a review written up. That should be going online, hopefully, later on this evening.
Oh, cool. This evening being, what is it, Friday evening?
Oh, Friday, October the 9th, yeah.
Yeah, Friday, October the 9th, indeed. Okay, cool. So I look forward to reading that. I really enjoyed that film, as I've mentioned in past show. And I think it made my wife cry.
I nearly did.
Yeah, I won't lie. I was a little choked, but you gotta keep face, especially when you're on a ferry. there's lots of people around. What else have you watched?
I've watched Tremors 5, Bloodlines.
All right. Wow, I didn't even know that was out. I saw that you wrote a bit about it a little while ago, but I didn't know that was actually out to watch now.
That's out and about. Yeah, it's strange. It's on US Netflix.
Oh, really?
Which seems weird. It's like it's on video on demand and DVD and Blu-ray and on US Netflix. So I presume US Netflix must be paying a huge amount of money to get something on day one release because that kind of undercuts the whole business of being in video on demand, really, isn't it?
Yeah, it does a bit. Weird. Weird. Okay.
And that's all I've watched. Moving on.
but hang on.
Yes?
In the last show you mentioned that you watched San Andreas and I had concerns then. Since then, and I can forgive this because are you leaving? sounds like you're leaving. I'm off. You watched Fantastic Four despite the numerous bad reviews of that. And you also watched Pixels.
And?
And why are you putting yourself through this torture? That's what I want to know.
It's not a torture. Well, actually, Pixels was torture.
I haven't.
Please, the review up yesterday, didn't I? The review is online. Please read it, people.
I haven't actually read the review yet because I'm still in shock that you sat through it. It's above and beyond the Call of Duty for the website, I have to say. I mean, yeah, watch good films, but you don't have to force yourself to watch any old tit.
I don't want to go into it too much because it's all like people go, well, I'm bothered reading the review now.
Yeah.
It was the retro gaming aspect that is the reason I decided to watch it.
Fair enough. I can't argue with that.
And I like the original short film that it's based on. I thought, well, I'll give it a go. I mean, I don't generally like Adam Sandler, but let's see what he's done with it.
I really hope the guy that made the short film is rich now because, there's got to be a silver lining to that cloud. There really has to be. I was a little bit appalled that you watched that, but good on you. Well done. Taking one for the team.
You can't just be putting positive reviews up all the time. It's not.
I thought that was our ethos. Focus on the positive. Don't bother with the negative. That's cool.
It's just a case of don't expect it to be, one way or the other. You think, I'll watch that. It's probably going to be good. And if it isn't, it just makes it easier to write about.
Yeah, fair enough. I got to say, John, we're nearly 15 minutes in and we haven't mentioned Star Wars yet.
I know. I was saving a story for the end of that.
Oh, okay.
So we'll get it. Don't worry, everyone. There will be a Star Wars mention.
Okay, we'll get there. have you watched any telly lately?
As we've been mentioning in the last podcast, the American TV season has started up again. So Gotham, Big Bang Theory... Mm-hmm. Brooklyn Nine-Nine is one of my favourite comedies at the moment.
Oh, right. I started watching that. I think I watched about four episodes of the first season and then sort of fell off it for some reason. I don't know. Can't remember why.
Okay. What else is coming? Heroes is back on for its limited run.
Oh, yeah. Did you watch any of that yet?
No, the missus is going to watch it because she watched the original series to the end. Where I think I for some reason I just gave up at the end of season one. I just didn't bother picking it up with season two. I don't know why.
I watched the first episode of Heroes Reborn, and it felt, I don't know, it was, I don't know, it did feel like the original series, the main series,
yeah,
in many respects. But at the same time, it now feels like it's very under budget.
All right.
It feels cheap, and looking back, I think Heroes as a series now seems a bit cheap in comparison to the shows that have come since then. Let's not forget, it really was a show that paved the way for a lot of other shows in terms of concept, and it was a little bit ahead of the game with the superhero thing.
Oh, definitely. There's nothing else like it at the time.
And now there's a lot like it. borrowing the concept very much so. I don't know. There's a section, there's part of it where it's inside a video game. And at that point, I just felt,
okay,
I'm not sure about this. and subsequently, I haven't actually watched any further episodes. It's not to say I won't, but it's gone way down on the list of priorities, I've got to say. But, I'll give it a go. And you should, I'd be interested to find out what your wife thought as well when she watches it.
She's a big fan, so.
Yeah, I enjoyed Heroes, and I watched it's something that my wife and I watched as well. She seems to think that we made it all the way to the end of the last season, but I can't remember. I really can't. That's how memorable it is.
Yeah.
Anything else you've been watching?
I watched the first episode of The New Muppets.
Oh, really?
Which is supposed to be a bit more adult orientated. The Muppets are running a late night TV, an evening talk show, Conan or The Tonight Show and all those kind of things.
Yeah.
It's kind of a behind the scenes of them running a talk show. I only watched the first one. It's okay. It's not laugh out loud.
Right.
There's been a few more since, so I'll give them a go. I mean, who doesn't like the Muppets? I love the Muppets. But this is just kind of, at the moment.
Okay. That's not even on my radar. I'd seen a little bit, people were annoyed that they're sort of a new modern idea of the Muppets. And I don't know, Kermit's got a new love interest or something, but...
Yeah, that's right.
I've not really kept up to date with Muppet news, if I'm honest, so... never mind.
Fair enough. I'm going to give that Minority Report a go as well.
Is that on as well already?
In the States, yes.
Of course, naturally.
Of course, naturally. Even though apparently the ratings haven't been very good for it.
Ah, okay.
So who knows how long that one will... unsurprisingly, it's a Fox project, so if the ratings don't do very well, they're very quick to swing the cancellation axe.
Yeah. Well, I like the film with old Thomas Cruise.
Yeah,
but I can see that it would lend itself to a series, but I don't know how easy it would be to pull off. I didn't know. I might give that a look as well myself. That sounds interesting.
Oh, speaking of TV shows, I just for anyone who's interested, the brilliant Mr. Robot will be coming to Amazon Prime in the UK. This month or next month, I think.
It's this month, 26, I think. They're going to put the entire first season on. They're going to put it all there. So, I'm definitely going to watch that one based upon your recommendation. And a few other people have told me it's really good as well.
There you go.
I don't know how they've all seen it, really.
I have no idea.
Since it's going to make its UK premiere on Amazon Prime. But, yeah.
And I wouldn't... I don't want to do it, but... Do you watch American stuff, in various ways, or do you...
Do I download stuff illegally? Yes.
Yes, yes.
I think, anyone that listens to this would know that by now.
how do you Americans put up with the banner advertising in TV shows?
Oh, God.
I mean, since, over the years, I've got used to the jokes which Family Guy refer to as jostling buddies.
Yeah.
You get animations for other shows, and they usually happen just after an ad break, and it's like, all right, I'll let it go. But I was watching The Muppets earlier, and an advert for Dove moisturizing soap just appeared as a banner at the bottom of the screen.
Wow, that sucks.
And it's like, for fuck's sake. And I think what really set me off was I watched the first episode of season 3 of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. last week, and a banner popped up for Burger King.
And he got
like a Burger King logo, and the text said something along the lines of, "Are you ready to make the burger your way in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1? And then that's where the ad break goes.
Wow.
And it's just like, oh my God, this is getting worse.
My God, that's awful. I mean, yeah, we I mean, obviously the BBC is commercial free because it's,
yeah,
we pay a TV license to fund it, basically. Everyone has to pay the TV license. It goes towards funding the BBC. Not just TV, radio, online content, I mean, across the board. And you get an awful lot for that money, really. I don't mind paying the TV license. But, no. You know, commercial TV, you know, yeah, all right, you get an ad break maybe every 15 minutes for a show that's very popular, but you know, ad breaks during the show, I mean, fuck that. I mean, seriously, that's ridiculous. If like Amazon or Netflix goes that far, I will cancel the subscription. I don't give a shit. I mean,
well, that's where you're paying subscription, isn't it, really?
Well, exactly, yeah. I mean, that's the point, I suppose. Yeah, you're right, you pay the subscription to avoid that kind of crap. But I don't watch an awful lot of commercial TV, to be honest.
Oh, no.
And if I do, I tend to record so that I can go through the adverts without having to watch.
I mean, that's literally what I've just, the thought just popped into my head. Maybe this is a tactic to get advertising in, knowing that people are DVRing this stuff.
Well, exactly.
And they're just speeding through the adverts. So they're like, fine, well, fuck you. We'll stick the adverts on during the actual program and then you can't skip them.
So what you're saying is it's our fault.
Shit, looks like it, doesn't it?
God damn it, we thought we were so smart as well. Oh, we're not smart. Fancy a burger now, I don't know why.
Speaking of TV channels that make their money from advertising, like ITV, or more specifically in this case, ITV2, did you notice I got a bit slapped by a certain Lee Francis last week?
No.
For those of you who don't know, which is probably a lot of people outside of the UK, Lee Francis is a comedian who first started here in the UK with I think his first thing was a show called Beau Selector.
Yeah.
Which was, how can you describe Beau Selector? He wore sort of like character masks of famous people, didn't he?
Yeah, he looked absolutely nothing like them in most instances.
Yeah.
it was entertaining in a really vulgar kind of way.
Yeah, I didn't mind Beau Selector too much, but then at some point he turned into this character called Keith Lemon.
Yeah,
which he just seems to live on ITV2 and just make tons and tons of programs.
I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, and I hope I'm not jumping the gun here, but does he do Through the Keyhole now?
He does, yes.
Oh my God!
Which, admittedly, I've seen a few of those, and in that situation, I think he's quite funny.
Okay, I've seen a couple of them.
It sort of trashes people's homes, and you know their celebrity homes. You know, it just makes it a bit. I've only watched about 2 episodes, so don't judge me.
No, I'm guilty of that as well.
But, but back in March, ITV announced that as Keith Lemon, he was doing a tribute to the Back to the Future.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Which really got my back up because I just thought, no, him and Back to the Future do not mix.
Okay.
And I've made a few not nasty comments. I've made a few negative comments on Twitter, and I can't find the original. Yeah, someone tweeted, I don't know where they got it from, because I'm not seeing it, a picture of the title card for the show, and it's called Keith Lemon's Back to the Future Tribute.
Yeah, because he's got this accent, isn't it? Back to the Future.
So you're on my side, I like this, it's going well. And she said, you cannot wait for this, and she included a fan tweet for Keith Lemon, Lee Francis, Gino Fantastico, Paddy McGuinness, and Michael J. Fox. Some of those names you won't recognise because they're only sort of, well, I wouldn't even call them celebrities for the UK, to be honest. But I just quoted that tweet and just wrote down the word no several times.
Uh-huh.
So just quick count, 22 times I wrote no because I just don't really want to see Keith Lemon associated with one of my favourite films of all time.
Yes.
This woman tweeted back and said, why? And I'm like, well, I'm not going to bother going into it. I just, I don't expect anyone to, you know, read a quote tweet and get back to me, so sod it. And then I actually get a tweet from Lee Francis directed to me at UK Film Nerd.
Wow. And what did he say?
And this is split over two tweets, and he says, as a massive BTTF, I presume he means Back to the Future fan.
Yeah.
As a massive BTTF, I thought it'd be great to do a BTTF show for myself, but also for BTTF. Most BTTF I always find nice. Oh, well. I hope you enjoy the BTTF evening, but when I come on, just turn over. Gonna call Bob to see what he thinks of the DVD cover. I presume he's referring to, got his name, the producer of the Back to the Future trilogy. Bob Gale's the producer, and Bob Zemeckis is the director. Maybe I could, who knows? And I was like, oh, I've just been sort of a bit slapped by Lee Francis.
Wow. Okay.
I did write some tweets back saying, you know, it's not an attack against you. I just don't want to see your comedy and my favourite film mixed together. And he never, obviously, he's moved on. He's not going to talk to me anymore.
Right.
But I was like, yeah, wow, someone sort of famous in England wrote directly to me, and they smacked me around a bit.
He was looking through your keyhole, I expect.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So you've got slapped down by a B-list celebrity, do you think? He's not
B.
Is he A-list?
He's not. I don't know.
I
mean, he did get a whole movie as Keith Lemon, but he didn't exactly shoot to the top of the charts.
Did anyone see that? I don't know. He's probably got a cult following somewhere. I don't know, like Azerbaijan or something.
Because I won't be able to find it quickly now. God knows where it is. Yeah, the Keith Lemon official sort of fanned Twitter channel sort of mentioned it as well, like saying something like, oh, some people just don't get him and he really does like Back to the Future and something, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, fuck off.
No, I totally get that he can be a Back to the Future fan. Of course he can. And, you know, a lot of people.
Oh, yeah, like, I'm not having to go in for that.
As Keith Lemon, no. As, you know, what is his name?
Lee Francis is his real name.
Lee Francis. Yeah, maybe, you know, why not? Yeah, he wouldn't be the first person who's done like a fan documentary or an homage to their favourite programme, but not as Keith Lemon, because Keith Lemon is a prick. Yeah, I'm not saying Lee Francis is. I'm saying that character is just not... I totally get where you're coming from. Does not fit with the Back to the Future thing at all.
No. And when you see the list of... I don't want to say the word celebrities. You just can't see how much my fingers are doing the quote marks right now.
Paddy McGuinness.
I can't remember his name. Gino Fantastico. What's his brother proper name?
No,
that's
idea.
His Twitter handle.
I really don't know.
It was that failed X Factor thing, wasn't it?
I have no idea. I really have no idea.
Unfortunately, I know who he is. I don't know his name, but I sort of know who he is. Sort of. I don't even know what it's on, because I have been sort of Google searching it, saying, well, when's the damn thing going to be on then? And I can't find it in the schedules anywhere.
Well, I mean, there's plenty of other, you know, documentaries and film footage and everything available to celebrate 30 years of one of the greatest trilogies or films ever made, including, I've just seen, and I was going to post about it, Out of Time, the one where the documentary following the restoration of the original Back to the Future DeLorean.
Oh, yes, I'm very much looking forward to seeing that one.
It's included on the 30th edition Blu-ray box set. It's part of that, especially bonus material. So there's a little trailer just for that online I saw today, which it looks really cool. So, you know, fuck Keith Lemon, quite frankly, and all these Twitter fans, and watch something decent instead. Saying that, I haven't seen it, so it might be brilliant, but I'm not really, you know, no. As you say, no.
No.
No, 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 no. wow, okay, well, there we go. We've had two wonderful experiences. Let's have a third one. On Monday, I'm invited to the Walking Dead Season 6 premiere. In London, yeah, going to go and get to. It's in association with PlayStation, and they're going to have like the game, the Walking Dead game, available.
All right, yeah,
on loads of PlayStations to play ahead of the screening. There'll be free drink and nibbles again, and I'm going to get to see the premiere of season six having still not really caught up because I'm still on season 3, like episode 4 as well.
I thought season 6 already started. Was that just in the States?
Oh, it might be in the States, yeah. It starts in America. It starts in the UK, sorry, next Monday. And interestingly, despite AMC launching their own channel here in the UK, as we discussed in the last episode, The Walking Dead continues to remain on Fox, on the Fox channel here, because they own the rights to show it. So it will be on Fox at 9 p.m. in the UK, but I'm going to get to see it from about 7:30. So just a little bit earlier. So that's exciting. I don't know if there'll be any guests there. Sometimes they have cast members there to do a little Q&A. And hopefully there'll be a nice goodie bag as well.
So lucky you.
Looking forward to that one. I did try and get extra spaces for that and they said no. You can have one space.
It's too popular. Yeah, go away.
Yeah, clearly it is. Yeah, so that's interesting. That's fun. Last show we mentioned that the opportunity arose to interview the star.
Yes, of one of the stars of Sharknado.
Sharknado 3, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, we're going up in the world ever so slightly.
All right.
And it's too late to respond to this now because the deadline was 4 p.m. today.
Oh, okay.
We were given the opportunity to potentially interview because it's up to the person that would be interviewed to say yes or no, ultimately.
Come on.
We had an opportunity from a film. I've literally just put the trailer up on the website, a film called Momentum. And it would be to interview, I'm going to pronounce this wrong, Olga Kurylenko, who has appeared in such films as The November Man and Quantum of Solace, James Bond film.
She was in, wasn't she in The Last Die Hard as well?
Don't know. No idea.
Kurylenko?
Yeah, Olga.
I
call her Olga.
Quantum of Solace, Oblivion, the 2007 version of Hitman.
Well, there you go. And also James Purefoy, who appeared in John Carter and Solomon Kane, amongst other things.
I know that name, James.
You'll definitely recognise him when you Google him, which you're doing.
which you're doing right now. It's like, I know that name. Who is he? James Purefoy. I sort of recognise him.
I recognise the face, yeah. He looks vaguely familiar.
Oh, right. It's someone you sort of go, oh, I know him. He's from. You start doing that.
Yeah, John Carter. Anyone see that? I did. I went to the cinema to see it.
Oh, blimey. I watched 3/4 of it and gave up.
Yeah.
Which is a shame, because I knew it had a bad rap, but I was really willing to give it a go and see if it's as bad as everyone made it out.
I didn't think it was as bad as everyone made out. It wasn't good, but it wasn't as bad. Yeah, it wasn't... I don't know. I didn't hear any of the bad reviews before I went and saw it. I think we saw it sort of quite soon after it came out. And I thought it was all right. It passed the time. It could have been better, put it that way.
Yeah.
But they're our latest people we're not interviewing.
We're not interviewing, we missed the deadline.
I've also had two very interesting followers on Twitter, and I notice now we're, 35 minutes into the show. Oh, we haven't actually touched any of the pieces you've got. This could be a long show. I've been followed by... Bizarrely, two strange people.
Yes.
This lately. Firstly, the US voice of Siri.
I think she followed me as well.
That's weird. I mean, yeah.
It's quite bizarre.
I'm not offended by it. But Siri in the UK is a man. Being followed by her, and also a model turned actress. And I put a little bit on the website about it, and she's saying thanks and follow me. Tracy Birdsall, who if you Google her, she may appear vaguely familiar as well. She's been on TV and movie stuff and had plastic surgery quite a bit by the looks of things, but, but looking quite fit for an old bird. If she ever listens to this, she'll be unfollowing me very shortly.
Yes, numbers going down one, bing!
Issuing some sort of restraining order, but it's quite nice. Quite nice. Interesting Twitter followers this week. So, yeah, like that. Should we start the show?
I thought it already started. Blimey. Okay.
Actually, for once, you prepared some bullet points. We have ignored them pretty much, I think.
Yeah, it's like, oh, well, he's prepared. Fuck it. Let's talk about other things. Actually, it's been a good show so far. I like this.
It's fun. I enjoy it.
Getting bitch slapped by celebrities. Right. Okay. First, the headline. Well, I've just written down the headline because I think it speaks for itself. An alarming number of people think The Martian is a true story. And the article had links to all these tweets where everyone going, oh, yeah, based on a true story, isn't it? Yeah. At what point did the news ever say we put someone on Mars?
I do actually distinctly remember an interview with the lead actor in that. And they said, Matt, is this a documentary? And he, and he actually said, Matt Damon. It looks really interesting. I'd love to see it. But
I love the book. I really want to see the film.
I bet they're a bit pissed off they discovered water on Mars. Like in the week it came out. Do you think, hang on, conspiracy, they discover water on Mars. That's great advertising for a film called The Martian, which comes out in the same week. I don't believe it. I think it's bullshit. There's no water on Mars. It's all advertising.
It's a huge advertising campaign by Fox.
It's a big scam. I tell you what, I'm also not happy about. In the same week that we have a super blood moon in the UK.
Oh yes,
the moon is closest to the Earth as it could possibly be, almost.
Yeah,
and is blood red because of some science. The Mars comes in and says, "Hang on, I've got water," and suddenly everyone forgets about the moon. The blood moon. I say no. Blood is thicker than water. That's what I say. Yeah, I tweeted that as well. So, sorry if you've already read that gag.
Okay.
I say gag, loosely speaking.
Mirth.
Wow. So a lot of the population are idiots, is what we're saying.
That's what this website say. Well, if the proof was there, the tweets were on the webpage. It's just like, oh dear. Is that someone at work told me today that people don't think that Martian means person from Mars. They just think it means just generally someone from outer space. So, for God's sake.
Bloody hell. It's just I really despair. I really do.
Maybe it's these people that are nice segue here. Maybe it's these people who managed to get Terminator Genesis for $440 odd million worldwide.
Oh yeah, how the fuck did that happen?
I have no idea.
John, have you been paying money to watch that?
No.
Oh, good. Phew. I mean, that's another one of your slightly dubious watch viewings recently, isn't it?
Moving on. luckily, though, there's a film like this, there's so many production companies involved that when that $440 million finally gets divided up between all of them, there's no profit for any of them.
No.
They just get back a bit of what they spent. So that usually means no more films, which in the case of Terminator Genesis, I'd normally go, woohoo!
Yeah, but, I don't know why they would persist with that franchise. I think, you know, at this point, it's just destroyed, isn't it? It's ruined.
It's completely ruined. But unfortunately, Dana Goldberg from Skydance, who is the main production company behind it, says it's not an indefinite hold. You know, we're just thinking about it and seeing seeing what the next step should be. And we're going to do research around the world and talk to audiences and find out what they liked about it and what they didn't like about it. And hopefully the next one will be the right one. It's like, oh, for God's sake.
Oh, no, the next
one. So didn't you learn that the fact you didn't make the money means it wasn't that good?
Yeah, I just no. Again, no.
No.
I haven't watched it. I probably will get around to it at some point. It'll wind up on the Love Film list because, now that we have, you know, Amazon and Netflix and what have you, I tend to watch as much as I can, you know, via those.
Mm-hmm.
And anything that is sort of on the back burner, on the B list, goes on the Love Film list.
Like, yeah.
And you get a DVD through every now and again, and you go, oh, yeah, I'll watch that. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't actually know whether we pay, well, my wife pays for it. I don't actually know whether she pays a separate subscription fee, because it used to be part of, you know, it used to be Love Film was Amazon Prime or Amazon Instant or whatever the fuck it's called. And then I think they became two separate things, I think. I don't really know. So I don't know if we pay two subscriptions for that. We could probably lose one of them. Probably lose the Love Film.
But, time to find out.
Yeah. But an example of a film that went on that B-list was Earth to Echo. Which I got through and actually watched this weekend with my kids. It looks a bit like a TV movie, but it's actually quite fun. Quite enjoyed it. It's about it's very much trying to tap into the Spielberg way of things, where these kids, it's like their last night together before their town is like bulldozed and a highway built through it, and their cell phones, their mobile phones start playing up, and they realise that it's given them a map, and so they follow the map. It's their last great adventure together before they have to move away and split up.
Yeah,
and they follow the map and they find this little alien life form that's sort of damaged and hurt, but needs to get taken different places to find parts to rebuild its spaceship. They follow the map. They keep following the map, and all the while the people that are building the highway through this town aren't actually building a highway. They're actually searching for the alien. So it's quite fun, and the kids, you know, my eldest especially really enjoyed it. She's on the verge of 8. My five-year-old was a bit worried, a bit scared, but sat on my lap and she watched it as well. So it was quite good, quite enjoyable.
Cool.
Yeah, I don't think it really got enough it got exposure, but it didn't get great reviews. But I think, you know, looking through kids' eyes, it's actually not a bad film. There we go. Unexpected review.
Yes, very unexpected review.
How do we segue into the next piece from that?
I don't know, because it's a completely different tone of film. Justice League Dark. There you go. Try and link those together.
It was mostly filmed at night.
Weak. Yes, apparently Warner Brothers is rumoured to be pushing forward on this project, which apparently Guillermo del Toro was originally going to direct.
Oh, wow.
And spent a long time developing the film, but he's had to move on to other projects for reasons I don't have in front of me. But yeah, but apparently del Toro is still a producer, and they've also got another guy called Scott Rudin, and they're sort of fast-tracking it, making changes to the script, approaching directors, and they want to start filming it next year.
Oh, wow.
And the vague plot line is, and I quote, "A series of ancient tomes stolen by a madman hell-bent on the destruction of humanity. When he learns of this, occult detective John Constantine seeks out a group of heroes that specialise in the mystic and arcane in order to save the world."
Oh, wow, that's cool.
So it's literally just a sort of like an alternative Justice League.
Wouldn't it be cool if they actually got the same actor that played Constantine in the series?
Matt Ryan.
Yeah, cause I think he did a fantastic job.
Oh, I loved it. He's brilliant. It's just hearing his accent amongst the Americans was just funny enough.
Especially
he's running around shouting things like, "Oh, bollocks, love." It's like,
that was a great series. I really wish they'd like reconsider. Yeah, that, and bring that back, because it was different, very much different in tone to all the other comic adaptations that are out and about at the moment. Yeah, shame. But that sounds really interesting. I'm not as sold on old Guillermo del Toro, or whatever his name is.
Yeah, close enough.
after Pacific Rim, because, yeah, I know you disagree, but that film was shit.
Moving on.
Well, hasn't Pacific Rim 2 been sort of it's just sort of disappeared from the schedule?
Yeah, it did. It did have a release date, and then it vanished off the release date list, and they went, it's on indefinite hold. But Del Toro's going, well, we're still working on it until we're told otherwise. So
straight to DVD.
I'm not really sure.
They should dump every copy in the Pacific. It's awful. It's such an awful film. I can't believe you like that. It's really bad.
Gritting my teeth.
So this is the last Betamax and Laserdisc ever, with John as co-host next week. Fair enough. Let's move on from that then.
apparently that universe will exist in the same universe as the sort of the main Justice League, which Warner Brothers are also working on.
That's interesting.
Making their own DC universe.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder if it will be as slick as the Marvel one. Something that bothers me a little bit is that the TV series are very much separate to the movie universe.
They're connected, but very weakly.
Yeah, but I mean, they're making a Flash film. It's going to be a different, like, different concept, different actor. You know, it's not going to be the same Flash as in the series.
Oh, that seems a bit strange.
From what I've heard, apparently, you know, things I've read today, even as recently as today,
yeah,
is that the suit in the film will be tech-based rather than, you know, functional for, you know, his abilities or whatever, you know, to facilitate his abilities. Rather, it's going to be like tech-based and enhance, yeah, his abilities. Different actor as well. And yeah, I mean, I don't know. It just seems like the TV and the cinematic universes are going to be very separate in some respects, which I guess shouldn't bother me. But I really like the way Marvel intertwine the TV series with the films, and it works. It works really, very slickly. I still didn't get around to watching Age of Ultron again. It's been about a month now. But maybe tomorrow or Sunday, I think my wife is out, so maybe I'll watch it then.
Ah,
yeah.
Cool.
Okay. What were we talking about?
The next subject. Hey. Kevin Smith.
Oh, yes.
Apparently, because as we speak, the New York Comic Con is currently in session, and he was there to promote his series Comic Book Men.
Yes.
And he also revealed the basic outline for Mallrats, as it's currently known, the sequel to Mallrats or Mallrats 2.
Yeah. Which no doubt will star his daughter and Johnny Depp's daughter as well.
But apparently the film is once again about Brody, played by Jason Lee. I mean, he's agreed to come back, isn't he? I think everyone from the original's agreed to come back.
Except Affleck.
Is he the only one who hasn't said anything yet?
Apparently so.
Ah. Well, according to Smith's own words, there's going to be a save the clock tower moment where he has to save a mall, and to do so, he has to organise his own little Comic Con in the mall.
Oh, right.
He says the plot will be a little bit diehard, but it won't be as bad as Paul Blart Mall Cop. And as part of the crowded Comic Con, there's also going to be some terrorists are going to come in, and it's going to be up to Brody to save the day.
I mean, Smith has already kind of given away quite a large plot point on this, in the fact that the mall is going to be demolished. They're going to blow it up, basically.
Right.
During the film, he's been tweeting and Instagramming pictures of the mall that they found that is
going
to be used. It's a derelict one, and he said on his podcast that they're going to blow it up basically as part at the end of the film or something. You know, so bit of a plot point there, but it's fine. I don't know. I mean, he doesn't seem to hold back these days on what he intends to do. He kind of gives everything away almost, and he's got such a huge fan base that he knows that he's going to make a certain amount anyway. It might not be a massive hit worldwide, but he's certainly got enough support to make anything he does viable. So fair play to him.
He's asking he wants people like the Comic-Con crowd to come down and be extras in the movie. And also, he wants up-and-coming musicians to feature their songs in the film. He doesn't want established bands.
Yeah.
So people can just tweet him at that Kevin Smith, and they might get their music in the film.
Well, he's not silly. He's got to pay for the rights for anything that's published, doesn't he?
Didn't occur to me, yeah.
So he's making films on a budget, and he's not silly. No, fair play to him. I do feel like he's a bit past his best, Kevin Smith. I liked the direction he went when he started doing these sort of darker films. I never got to around to seeing Tusk, but I will do at some point. Mm-hmm. Not good.
So, I didn't really like. I like the beginning of Tusk, but then it just went downhill.
Okay,
it's a shame. So I like Red State.
Yeah, Red State I enjoyed, and I found it. Yeah, it was just very different to anything I've seen from him before. What else? Yoga Hosers is coming out, which is a kids film.
Is it?
I'm certain it's a kids film aimed at a younger audience. Not.
Oh right.
Yeah, I'm sure it's a kids film. Yeah, I don't know. And then he's making Moose Jaws.
Oh blimey!
I think. I think he just needs to do a little bit of quality control on some of these ideas. It's like he talks about something.
Apparently, he said it, yeah.
He talks about something on a podcast, and then it's like, oh, I'll make that into a film. Not every idea is gold. Yeah, you know, it doesn't really work.
Well, apparently, he's shooting two films next year. Morrat's 2 is one of them, but he hasn't yet told anyone else what the other film is.
Oh, wow.
But there you go. Have to wait and see.
We will. Interesting, you mentioned Comic Con. I shall be at the MCM Comic Con in London. So it feels like a show of plugs.
So, have you got your own booth or just walking around as a guest?
Press pass. I had to fucking apply for that, I'll have you know. I had to fill out a form, justify why I should be there. And they said yes. Come along.
Awesome.
Yeah, so it's end of October. So if anyone in the UK listens to this show, I'm not sure anyone actually does. We always like qualify everything British at we say. In case for anyone listening in America or Canada, we should say as well. I don't actually know if anyone from Britain listens to this show.
Oh.
It'd be nice to know, wouldn't it?
It'd be nice for some feedback.
Drop us a tweet. You can find me on @TheUnheardNerd and find John @UKFilmNerd. Alternatively, find us on Facebook. It's facebook.com/TheUnheardNerd. Or drop us a line on the email, TheUnheardNerd@gmail.com. Because I still haven't set up the emails properly to work right. John @TheUnheardNerd.com. We've got them. There's probably people emailing them.
So it's wondrous offers sitting in an inbox somewhere, never been looked at.
Come and join us for the world premiere of Age of Ultron. Oh, shit. One time offer. If you don't reply, you're off the Marvel list.
Oh, dear.
Maybe.
Speaking of Marvel.
Yes.
Big news update from them. They've got, they just haven't shown up recently. This is in a good way, though. The most recent was Ant-Man and the Wasp for 2018.
Ant-Man and the Wasp. It doesn't fill me with a lot of confidence, that title, I'll be honest. But are they two separate films, or Ant-Man and the Wasp?
No, that's one film, Ant-Man and the Wasp. Wasp is Evangeline Lilly's character.
I haven't seen it yet.
Ah.
Oh, man. That makes me a bad Marvel fan. But I refuse to torrent it because I'm a good person. I'm waiting for the Blu-ray release because I didn't get good to see it in the cinema. No, really. If I haven't got around to watching Age of Ultron on Blu-ray yet, I mean, what chance of me sitting down and watching Ant-Man if I torrent it?
Not much.
Not really. No, I will. I am gutted I missed that at the cinema, but I will catch it as soon as it's out on the Blu-ray.
they've also announced three films for 2020.
Have they really announced them?
Yes. Well, they haven't said what they are.
They've just said there are going to be films.
They just said there's going to be three films from us in 2020, which I think is...
Not much of an announcement is all I'm saying. I'm just saying.
No, I suppose not. Yeah, I suppose.
I could say I'm launching three films in 2020. It's not much of an announcement. I mean, it's a complete lie.
No.
I don't know if we can trust Marvel anymore.
That's a post-Infinity Wars, isn't it?
Yes.
I think 2020.
I believe so, yeah. I believe so. I mean, it could be any number of things. They've still got a million and one different things that they could make, haven't they?
It could be just the heads of Disney just rolling around in dollar bills.
It's laughing maniacally.
Yes.
Yeah. But apparently not Howard the Duck.
No. There's someone asked if there's going to be a Howard the Duck movie, and they flat out said no. Despite the cameo appearance in at the end of Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, probably not a bad thing. I don't know. I mean, it could be. I mean, it might not even be that interesting. It could be just like, you know, Captain Marvel 2 or, you know, the next Spider-Man film since, you know, Marvel are involved in that. Or it could be something, you know, they could be moving in a direction of a different character. I mean, they've got a million to play.
Who knows?
I wonder, I mean, just off the top of your head, characters, Marvel characters that haven't had a film yet, who would we like to see?
I'm slack because I know the main ones.
Yeah. I don't know, I'm trying to think. I can't now, I've put myself on the spot.
Yeah, now your mind's blank, now you've asked yourself that question.
That was a bit of a bad move. Never mind. Moving on.
Moving on. Well, a rumor came out also this week that they reckon that because the Infinity Wars is going to be a two movies, and they reckon it could cost a potential Dr. Evil time here $1 billion
for the two
to create these two films. Yeah.
My God.
The rumor claims that $400 million of that is just for screenwriters, directors, producers, and the cast members. And apparently, allegedly, we should say, Robert Downey Jr. is to get essentially half of the actor budget.
Bloody hell. I mean, it's amazing, isn't it? It really is incredible.
It's ridiculous. But I mean, there's no script yet or even a plot, so you can't really say how much it's going to cost. But I mean, to put that in perspective, apparently the Hobbit trilogy cost in total $745 million.
Wow. Wow. Oh, it's crazy money. It really is crazy money. I wonder, you know, a few years before Iron Man came out, Robert Downey Jr. was, you know, struggling a bit, let's say, with a few problems. And look at him now. I mean, Jesus Christ. He's pretty much playing himself on screen.
Yeah, it seems that way.
It's like he gets paid millions and millions of dollars to be himself. It's incredible and look cool.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It's mental. Yeah. Moving on, there's another TV project Marvel are starting up called Damage Control.
Oh, God, yeah. I kind of saw something like that.
Which apparently will be a half-hour comedy show that follows the overworked and underpaid cleanup crew of the Marvel Universe. The poor guys have to go around and clear up the mess after huge superhero battles.
Yeah, it's based in an insurance firm or something, isn't it?
I don't know the full details.
It doesn't sound riveting at first, but actually when you think about it, it's actually probably quite clever.
Apparently, it's already a comic, isn't it, I think?
Again, I'm not sure. I don't know. It's not one I've come across, but you know, I can't say I know every comic. I try to, but not able to. Yeah, it sounds. I don't know. I'm not sure how to feel about it, to be honest. But
I think it sounds quite funny. I think if it's done properly, it could be.
It's interesting, yeah. It's a nice twist on it.
Because it's something you never think about, is it?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, unless you're talking about Man of Steel and everybody's focusing on the damage.
Oh, yes, carnage. True.
Is that somebody's calculating how many millions of dollars damage that was and how much of public resources it would take up to fix all that. And, yeah, people do the real maths on that sort of thing. And you think, yeah, whatever.
Oh, dear.
But, yeah, no, good series. That could be good.
Look forward to that one. On a down note, which I know you'll be very pleased to hear.
Oh. really?
sarcasm. Hasbro recently sat down. I'll just give you the direct quote, and it's not very long, but it's depressing enough. We decided that we wanted to plot out the next 10 years of the Transformer franchise, and so we got together in a room over a three-month period of time, and they basically worked it all out. And the end of the quote is, so stay tuned, Transformers 5 is on its way, and 6, and 7, and 8.
No! For the love of God, why?
fuck knows, I just...
It's unbelievable. I mean, that's just... Oh, my God. It's a threat. Secondly, they might actually carry that out, which is actually assault. I'm pretty sure it's illegal. It's awful news. Really the worst.
I mean, I know you've got the dedicated fan base that will love watching robot-on-robot action, but...
Watching blurry robot-on-robot action.
But the rest of us are sick of it by now, surely. I mean, I just... I phased out halfway through... I brought 3 because it was in 3D, and I thought, yeah, I'd love to watch that in 3D at home, and I haven't watched it. So, I've watched it once, obviously the initial watching, which made me go and buy it, but since then, number 4 just seems to go on forever.
I don't think I've seen. Oh, hang on. Which one is four? Is that the one with the dinosaurs? The dino.
That's the latest one. Yeah.
I actually did watch. I think I watched it. Did I watch it? I started watching it. I don't know if I watched it.
It doesn't really matter.
I definitely started watching it. I might have watched it all. That kind of tells you how good it is. I really can't remember if I saw it all. I might have phased out and just fell asleep or gone into a coma for a few weeks. It's possible.
That's fair enough. I think we've talked enough about our dislike of Transformers in previous podcasts.
But I mean, it could have been so good. I mean, I love Transformers. I had plenty of them when I was a kid, the toys.
Yeah.
I loved the cartoons. I really enjoyed it. But the Michael Bay versions of Transformers just don't even you can't even recognize the characters. They're not the same. It's a complete bastardization of it. It's like taking an idea of fuck everything that was there before, which made something completely different, and call it Transformers. And it's like very vaguely based on the original idea, which really, really just turned me off completely. But I'm sure it captured a whole new audience, like a younger audience of kids that didn't grow up with Transformers. So I guess you have to give it a little bit of leeway. But those films are bad. They're just really bad.
As a personal note, I mentioned on air as something I saw earlier that you'll be that Halle Berry space thing you watch.
Oh, Extent.
Yeah, CBS have cancelled it.
That's so I can catch up.
That's right. Yeah, you can get to the end now and go, oh, okay.
Oh, God.
More time for better things.
I wish wish I hadn't cancelled that 5 years ago. I really haven't got anywhere near finishing it. I think I've got about 3 episodes into season 1.
Fair enough.
I just don't have enough time for TV. There's not enough. I try and keep up with Gotham, and I try and keep up with The Flash, but everything else, I haven't even watched a single episode of Fear the Walking Dead. I've got them all recorded.
Yeah.
I haven't seen a single one. I haven't watched any of it. It's a real struggle, actually, doing a TV, a movie podcast, and not actually seeing any TV or movies. Just kind of talking about what we've read on the internet.
Shh.
Now, you watch the films. I mean, bad ones, but you watch films.
Moving on again.
What else is there to talk about, John?
Well, perhaps we can sort of not spend too much on this, because this podcast is getting way too long. That's a bad thing.
We're just over an hour. We've still got to cut out the cat.
That's cool.
People will be going, what cat bit?
Cat bit, that's why it's cut.
The cat. Yeah, I'm never telling. It'll be a secret. Go to my grave before I tell you what the cat did.
We used to have a section called Shitting on Our Youth.
We did. We also had a section once where my cat actually shit in the cat litter while we were recording. I don't know if you remember that.
I
don't know if I cut it out or not. Anyway. Sorry, yes, shitting on our youth.
Shitting on our youth, or just more like bad diarrhea at the moment, because it's just this. Oh, dear. Right. Okay. Most of these things are for television, but it doesn't matter because that's why we're here. Mm-hmm. MacGyver.
Oh,
it's coming back.
Oh, God. Yeah, I saw that as well.
I've lost my notes. Yes. In quotes, it's going to be a reimagining, which apparently will follow a 20-something MacGyver as he gets recruited into a clandestine organization where he uses his knack for solving problems in unconventional ways to help prevent disasters from happening.
Sounds great.
Stop remakes and reboots. But if that wasn't bad enough, before Will can even comment on it, let's throw another one into the mix. Lethal Weapon, the TV series.
It's just unnecessary, I would say.
Just a bit.
Is my one word response unnecessary anymore?
Sony want to reboot Men in Black.
Why not? It's only been out within my lifetime. And most people's lifetime, to be fair, unless they're like 12. It can't be that old, can it?
The original Men in Black was 97.
That's not even 10 years ago. No, a bit more than 10 years ago.
A bit more than 10.
It's not even double 10 years ago. Oh my god, I'm old. Is it really and, that old? 97?
97 is the original Men in Black, yeah.
Bloody hell. Wow, okay.
I mean, the third one was... number three was only 2012, so...
Oh, that's it. They made a third one?
Sorry.
I didn't know. Wow.
Yeah, third one's not bad, actually. I quite like the third one.
Okay, I haven't seen it.
Okay. and finally, just to get through this section of depressing news, The A-Team.
Again.
Again.
They made a film of it, didn't they?
It was silly but fun.
Liam Neeson as Hannibal. No.
Yes, that's right. Well, that is what happened. But that's you're it. Saying no, you don't want it.
I just it doesn't sit well. I don't like Liam Neeson as an actor particularly. nothing, you know, just personal preference. Nothing against him per se. He was all right in the Batman films, but you know, not a big fan of his work. I don't like his style. But no, I didn't like it. And what are they going to? Are they rebooting it as a TV series?
Oh yes, they want to bring it back as a TV series.
Again, unnecessary. It's just not needed. Come up with a new idea. Yeah, there's plenty. It's so... Oh, no. It just doesn't need to be done. I mean, it's not even relevant, is it? I mean, they're going to...
Not really, I mean... You
know, what, veterans of the Iraqi war and how they're fighting as soldiers of fortune? Not really. It's a bit of an outdated concept, isn't it?
It sounds a bit shit.
Lovely to go back and look at, but not really, you know... Not really relevant these days, I don't think. And, you know, I mean, it was really of such an era, wasn't it? It was all about the vehicles, those programmes, as much as...
Oh, yes, that's the highlight of each show, wasn't it? It was, what are they going to build this week when they're locked up in a garage full of spare parts and tools?
Exactly, but the A-Team van, right? Modern vans look shit. They do, don't they? So what, you're going to have an old van? It doesn't really work. Yeah, you know, Face had a Corvette.
Yeah,
that was awesome. But yeah, modern Corvette.
Well, where did he keep it? That's what always bugged me.
Yeah, I don't know.
They went all around America doing this stuff, and yeah, every so often he'd go, "Hey, look, it's my Corvette." It's like, where'd you keep it?
Wow, it's part of the mystery of the show.
I suppose.
If they revealed everything, yeah, you know, there'd be nothing left to wonder about. But yeah, all of those shows, yeah, you know, like the Dukes of Hazzard. Oh, we're not allowed to mention the Dukes of Hazzard because it's racist. But yeah, was about the car. Reboot that.
Yeah.
Without that car, no, you can't. Knight Rider. They've tried so many times to reboot that with a different car. It's God. Not the same. A Mustang does not look right.
Okay? No.
Yeah, you know, because basically they're just putting the car of the highest bidding. You know, motor vehicle company.
That's right.
Into the program, you know, fucking Skoda or something. I don't know. It's not right. It doesn't work. You know, and Street Hawk is all about the motorbike. It was cool, but if you made it now, the motorbike would be like some massive superbike thing. It looked more like a moped back in the day, but it was cool. Oh, I just, yeah, they really missed the whole sort of magic of these films. It was about, you know, obscenely stupid plots, really.
But, oh, definitely, yeah.
But it was fun. No one really got killed. And it was all about the vehicles. It was the cars. It was appealing to kids who actually played with toy cars back in the day. Now, it's hard to find toy cars in shops these days. I mean, you've got sons. How easy is it?
What, toy cars?
Yeah, can you find them?
Oh, God, they got tons of Hot Wheels cars.
Yeah, only Hot Wheels, but we had Matchbox, we had Corgi cars.
And they were
in every newsagent's, they were in, you know, Woolworths. There were rows and rows of cars. It's like walking into fucking dreamland. And now,
I never really thought about it like that. Yeah, it's just now it's just like a selection of Hot Wheel cars. There's nothing else.
And the Hot Wheel cars are very often like supercars or stuff, or cars that aren't even. Yeah, you used to be able to buy cars that you saw in the street. Yeah, any cars like a fucking Renault 5 or whatever, and you could, you know, play. I don't know where I'm going with this, but I think I'm against the A-Team reboot. Is what I'm trying to say.
I think you are, yes.
Went off on a bit of a tangent there, sorry. I haven't had much
sleep. That's all right.
I haven't had much sleep. okay, well, we are well over the hour mark now. What have we got left?
Star Wars!
Star Wars? Really? Didn't we talk about Star Wars last show?
That happened to our favourite subject after last month's podcast. Apparently, the latest rumour is we might get the new and final trailer on October 19th.
Ooh, what for?
Apparently there will be no four. But yeah, which one? The Force Awakens, the one we're all waiting for.
Oh, that one. It's been asleep for a little while, and now it's back.
Yes, there's just going to be one more trailer, and only the TV spots after that. Apparently they're keeping very secretive still. They're not going to reveal. Have you heard what other things doing? Put loads and loads of new footage in all the TV spots. So you edit all the TV spots together, and you can make yourself the film.
I hate TV spots. I don't like them. I'm quite anti-TV spots. In fact, I might start a movement and start picketing. No TV spots. What do we want? No TV spots. When do we want them? Never.
Never.
Because we don't like them. I don't like them. I don't watch them. Do you watch them?
No, because there's so many of them. I just I think Ant-Man was the time I just got really. I watched the Ant-Man trailers. I decided I was going to go see it, but new Ant-Man spot, new footage, new Ant-Man spot, new footage. It's like no, just stop. I've seen the trailers. That'll do. I'll wait till I see it properly.
Exactly. I like my parts of films to be well presented and cut together in a context that makes no sense when you watch the film. I don't want to watch little bits of the film. Yeah, it's like, oh, this is the scene where he coughs. okay, thanks. Okay, I'll enjoy that then.
Fair enough.
Cheers. I don't get the concept. I know they're just trying to keep it in people's minds, and there must be websites to go, oh, new TV spot for whatever. Yeah, exactly. Whatever. Who gives a shit?
Whatever. Anyway, back to Star Wars.
Oh, yeah, sorry,
That's right. Actually, this is someone's come up with a theory of why BB-8 has got their name.
Oh, okay.
First, you have to get into a little bit of a backstory, which a toy was released called Elo Asti, who was nicknamed Boarhead during production. That's where you have an idea of what he looks like. So he's an alien X-Wing fighter pilot. But his name is Elo Asti. And on his helmet, he's got some writing, which is written in Urabresh. I don't know how it's pronounced. I've never heard it pronounced. It's written down as Urabresh, which is the Star Wars language you see written on vehicles and places and stuff.
Yeah.
It's an actual, people can actually, you can actually translate it into English. And he's got Born to Ill written on his helmet. Now, someone's realised that if you put an H and an N onto Elo Asti's name, he becomes Hello Nasty. Which is the name of a Beastie Boys album. And they also had an album called License to Ill. Henceforth, he's got Born to Ill written on his helmet. It turns out that J.J. Abrams is a big Beastie Boys fan.
I like this.
So either this is something J.J. himself has done, or someone's gone, I know J.J.'s a fan. We'll put this in and see if he notices.
Ah.
And J.J. himself said... BB-8 got his name because the droid's round and he's got a bouncy look, and he says, I named him BB-8 because it's almost onomatopoeia. It's sort of how he looked to me with the 8, obviously, and then the 2 B's representing his shape.
Yeah.
Someone else has gone, well, this is either coincidence or possibly he's called BB-8 for Beastie Boys and the fact they released 8 albums during their career.
Ah.
It's like, nice, I like it.
It's good. J.J. Abrams famously put sabotage into the Star Trek film.
Into Star Trek, yeah. Which a lot of people didn't like, apparently. Some people were a bit sort of like, oh, what's that doing in this film? But I thought it was fine.
I found it strange, if I'm honest, purely because a kid of that age listening to what would have been really old music at that time in the future didn't quite seem to fit, but it wasn't his car. He was borrowing the car, like sort of stealing, actually. What a bad role model. And so it kind of makes sense if you think about it, which actually isn't worth doing because it's just a fucking song. I enjoyed it, is what I'm trying to say. That's interesting. I see these stories, I never really read them fully through, but I caught the gist. But I hadn't heard the BB-8 theory. I'd kind of thought, the ball 8 makes sort of the shape of BB-8.
Yeah.
That's cool. But yeah, Beastie Boys. I like it.
I hope that's true, because that'd be really cool if it is.
And I like the Beastie Boys as well. Yeah, so it's an all-round good story. I like that one. I actually really enjoyed that.
I thought I would pick a decent story to end on this time, rather than some of the painful things we've had in the past.
Well, there we go. It's been quite a long show again. Yeah, our attempts to keep it to a half hour show
really
failed. I think after about one show. But we're here.
Excellent.
We made it. Looks like we made it. We got to the end of the show. So there we go. That was Betamax and a Laserdisc, the movie and TV podcast from the unheardnerd.com. Don't forget, you can get in touch with us. We don't bite, and we actually quite enjoy getting messages on Twitter from people other than Keith fucking Lemon. So if you want to get in touch, you can get John at UK Film Nerd. If you want to get me, you can get me at The Unheard Nerd. It's easy to remember because it's the name of this website that you probably found this on. And Facebook, you can get us on Facebook, facebook.com/ The Unheard Nerd. We're actually getting an increasing number of people joining the Facebook page. I really hate Facebook. I really use it very sparingly on a personal level, even though I get like a dozen friend requests a week from people who kind of know people I kind of know online. And no offense, but I don't know you at all. I can see, you know, we've got a lot of online friends in common, but I don't think I've ever spoken to you. I'm not sure why we should be friends on Facebook, but whatever. Occasionally, I just sort of just click a few random ones, and there we go. Got new friends. Woohoo! But yeah, I find Facebook very weird. I don't really enjoy it, and I certainly don't like their fan pages, where you only reach about 30% of the people who are actually signed up to receive your updates. It's bullshit.
Yeah, that sucks.
Complete bullshit, Facebook. What do we want? Reach everybody who signs up for our page. When do we want it? Whenever we post, please. So there's that.
Always give Facebook some money.
Sure. What was it, about $5 every time I post?
Do you want to boost this post? Give us some money. It's like, no, thank you.
I have done it once. I have boosted a post just to see what would happen.
Oh, yeah.
And I can't remember how much I paid. It wasn't an awful lot, but £20 maybe at it, I can't remember.
Oh.
And boosted a post to see how far it would go, and you set your demographic that you're after, the age range, the sex, male or female, their other interests, and you really target who you're going for. But it just means that if you're shit at targeting people, you're not going to do very well. It did all right. It got several thousand different reach was like quite, it got quite far, but no real tangible benefits from doing that, other than people saw it.
And that means it just turns up in people's timelines. Doesn't mean they actually clicked on it to actually see what it's about.
Exactly. Yeah, a certain amount of impressions. But anyway, I digress. That's really not a way to end the show. kind of gone off topic there. I might cut that out. So anyway, that was Betamax and Laserdisc, the movie and TV podcast from theunheardnerd.com. I have been Will, and as always, trusty companion in podcasting, I've had John with me. Thanks a lot, John.
Thank you very much, Will. Thank you, everyone, for listening.
Yeah, so until next time, we'll try and be back in another month. We'll try. We'll really, really try.
Promise.
Don't promise. We can't promise. What do we want? A monthly podcast. When do we want it?
Every month.
Once a month. All right, until next time. Bye.
Laters.
TheUnheardNerd.com.